Bird lovers, we've got great news for you here on WICC about the piping plovers at Milford Point. I love saying piping plovers. It's like one of my favorites. Honestly, they are my favorite birds. I'm not going to lie to you. You ever seen that Pixar short of the little piping plover that keeps going in and out of the water? It's literally the best. Anyways, I digress. So piping plovers right here at Milford Point. More babies fledged there this year than on any other beach in the state in the 40 years that records have been kept. So for more information, we welcome back to the show Tom Anderson, Director of Communications for Connecticut Audubon Society and Editor of Connecticut State of the Birds. Tom, are you excited about this?
I'm thrilled by it, but you just gave all the news. What's left for me to say? You just told them everything.
No, I just gave the headline. Listen, if I bury the lead, then everyone's going to snooze, but that's great news. And now here's where you come into play, Tom. How did we do that? See, I didn't give it all away. You've got the secret sauce. I'm just serving the dinner, but you're the one who created the sauce. So how did we get this? This is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. And, you know, when we looked at the numbers this year, we knew that it was a record year for Milford Point because that's what we pay most attention to. And then we started thinking about it and realized that if it's a record year for Milford Point, and Milford Point is typically the beach in Connecticut that gets the most piping plovers, then it's probably the best year ever since records started being kept in the mid-1980s. And that turned out that we checked with the Connecticut Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, and they confirmed it. So yeah, it's pretty exciting. The reason it happens is because Connecticut Audubon invests the money in a couple of people to spend the summer, not just summer, actually from April into September, on the sand spit at Milford Point, making sure that the birds are as protected as they can be. And it's really the only beach in Connecticut where that happens. It's the only beach we manage. There are actually about, I think, 18 or 20 beaches in the state where piping plovers nest. And the three best are Sandy Point in West Haven, Long Beach in Stratford, and Milford Point. And Milford Point has traditionally done somewhat better than those other two. And it's because we spend the time and the money to make sure that they get the protection they need. And what that really means is a lot of beaches along the state, the people who own the beaches, along with volunteers and technicians from the state DEP, protect the piping plover nests with, they're sort of like wire cages. We don't really call them cages because it doesn't sound great. We call them enclosures, but they're basically wire cages that fit over the nests, and they allow the piping plovers to come in and out easily, but the openings are too small for predators like crows and foxes. So lots of beaches have those, but the fact that we have two people on the beach giving a little bit of extra protection, talking to beachgoers, talking to people who come onto the beach, to letting them know what's going on so they can not walk too close. That plus the fact that it's just a great habitat is what has made the difference.
So I want to actually kind of double back on a couple of things you just mentioned there, Tom, which you had said, you know, this was a focus, obviously, for the Audubon for many, many years. Could you talk specifically about what the Audubon has done to accomplish this record high for piping plover? Some people may be familiar if they've walked past that area, but you started to talk about, obviously, kind of a wired, fenced-off area. But, you know, talk to people about the specifics, when you do that and the signage that goes with it. I mean, talk a little bit more about this effort.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess probably to go back even further or on a smaller scale, piping plovers are tiny birds that nest only on beaches. And in the mid-1980s, they were listed as threatened under the United States Endangered Species Act. Which means that the government had to come up with a plan for piping plover recovery, and lots of agencies and nonprofits up and down the coast, because they are an Atlantic coast species, lots of agencies and conservation groups along the coast began working to try to help them recover. And what they need is unvegetated beaches with substantial area above the high tide line, so they don't get wiped out in when the high tide comes in, and beaches without many people, because if there are too many people, it just won't nest. It's too much disturbance. So, for example, Sherwood Island State Park has nice big broad beaches. Piping plovers might nest there, but in summertime it's a busy place. Lots of people go there to swim and hang out at the beach. So it's not really, and I think Sherwood Island actually had one pair of piping plovers. So it's not really the perfect place for piping plovers, but Milford Point and Sandy Point and Stratford, Long Beach and Stratford are a little bit different because they don't get the foot traffic that a place like Sherwood Island gets. And so what we and the standard procedure on these beaches is to put up what they call symbolic fencing, which is basically just like a rope to show people stay out of this area, with some signs that say piping plovers keep out. And there's usually informational or educational signs explaining what piping plovers are and why it's important to keep your distance. And then within those areas with the yellow ropes, the so-called symbolic fencing, we and others, with the guidance and the oversight of the state, place these exclosures over the nests. And what that means is we have to be out there on the beach when the birds return in April and start to lay their eggs, and we know that they lay four or five eggs, and so we watch closely. When they finish laying their eggs, we quickly move into place with these cages and place the cages over the nests, and then the birds are then protected, you know, to some extent anyway, from crows and foxes. As long as they're in the cage,
right?
In the meantime, Milford Point, for example, people love to go there because it's a great wild beach far out on Long Island Sound at the mouth of the Housatonic River. People love to just go out and walk on it, but also lots of bird watchers. And so the people we have on the beach try to engage these visitors, all of whom are there because they care about birds and they care about nature, and generally are very cooperative, but it helps to just sort of give them a reminder, let them know what's going on and where it's best for them to go and where not to go.
Tom Anderson, who is the Director of Communications for the Connecticut Audubon Society, is here. He's also the editor of Connecticut State of the Birds, and we are talking about the piping plovers at Milford Point. And a really exciting report. More babies fledged there this year than on any beach in the state in the 40 years that records have been kept. And Tom, you were just talking before about the very extensive efforts the Audubon has made, the money that has been invested to accomplish this record high for the piping plovers. And we were just discussing how, you know, keeping, you know, I know you don't like using the word cage, and I agree with you, but it's like, you know, just to keep it, you know, to the point.
That's what it is.
You know, those apparatus, and we were saying how, you know, certainly to keep other animals or predators out, but the people, you know, as much as obviously people care and they want to see these animals and they're fascinated by it, there's bird watchers. That is part of the campaign, or part of the effort, is to make sure that people also aren't walking in those areas where nesting is taking place, right?
Yes, it is. The piping plovers are... their feathers have evolved so that they're at times almost perfectly camouflaged on the sand, so you can't really see them. And if a baby piping plover, once it leaves the nest and once it leaves the cage, and actually that's a reason why not to use the word cage, because the birds can come and go. They're not caged in. Other animals are kept out. But in any case, once the birds leave the cage or the exclosure, they might crouch to hide from someone who's walking along the beach, and the person walking along the beach might not see them and step on them. I mean, I hate to say it, but that kind of stuff has happened in the past. The cages or exclosures are important. The sort of one-to-one education that we do when people come out onto the beach to let them know. And, you know, when you just broke for the weather, it reminded me how, to some extent, there's a little bit of luck involved in this as well. But back in 2020, we had a couple of weeks in June when the high tides at Milford Point coincided with storms, exactly like the storms today, coastal storms with extraordinarily high tides. And all the nests were wiped out on a couple of occasions that happened. And the birds try to nest again, but when that happens, it's never quite as successful. So the last few years, the effort that we've put in has sort of coincided with good luck with the weather, and that has helped make a difference as well. I want to say one more thing, and that is having to do with the cost. You know, we do this because people in Connecticut Audubon members and others, donate to the Connecticut Audubon Society. That's what we do with their donation. The people who are interested in bird conservation. So when they make a donation, we put it to projects like this. And we estimated a couple of years ago that it costs approximately $1,300 per baby piping plover at Milford Point. That if you add up our costs and divide by the number of babies, it comes out to about $1,300 per bird. So that's what it costs to get one piping plover from the nest back into the air after it hatches. And it adds up, and it's our members and our donors who are responsible for that. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that, and also to mention how grateful we are for those essential donations.
Yeah, no, that is a big deal. And my last question for you, Tom, and by the way, for people who want to read the full report, we will link it to Tom's podcast on voiceofct.com. Because the piping plover numbers are good, do you think other bird species or other creature populations that are, you know, utilizing the beach, for example, do you think they thrived as well based on what has been done for the piping plovers, or that's a totally different can of worms?
It's not totally different, but it's much more complicated. There's a shorebird much larger than piping plover. It's called the American oyster catcher, and it's too big to be able to put a wire cage or exclosure around. Because if you put the cage over it, it wouldn't be able to get in and out. And if it was able to get in and out, then foxes would be able to get in and out as well. Those we had one pair nesting at Milford Point this year, and to a great extent, those birds have learned that the best places for them to nest in Connecticut are on the islands offshore. And so not all of them, but most of the American oyster catchers in Connecticut have moved off the mainland beaches to the islands. So they've adapted that way. And we also have birds related to a bird called the common tern and the least tern. Both of them are sort of related to gulls, but they're shorebirds, water birds that nest on the beaches. And they're much more skittish even than piping plovers. We had two, three years ago, we had a colony of about 150 common terns and least terns nesting at the tip of the sandspit. And we don't allow dogs at Milford Point, and this is the reason why, but somebody brought a dog and we couldn't get it out of there, and it ran through the colony of where the terns were nesting, and they just left. We went from about 150 pairs to maybe a half dozen pairs, basically within 5 minutes of this dog having run through. So it's very complicated, and I don't want to say piping plovers are the easiest ones, but piping plovers is the species where we've figured out how to get the most success.
Well, I think that's a really exciting story, and to even hear that there could be a trickle down, you know, people, I shouldn't say people, but other species maybe adjusting to what has happened with the piping plovers. I just think that's incredible perspective. And again, if you want to read more about this, we are going to link it to Tom Anderson's podcast on our website, voiceofct.com. Tom, thank you for what you do, and we appreciate the update here on WICC.